How you guys doing today? Good. I just want to thank you all for allowing me to be up here. Thank you, pastors, Craig and Jill. They're not going to say it, so I'm going to say it. They would never say this. They are two of some of the most brilliant, kind-hearted, loving people I've ever met. So you guys are a blessed congregation to be here. And if you don't know it, you better find out. Pastor Craig said that I am when we met was it uncaged personality? That was the phrase. A lot of uncaged personality. Well, unfortunately, that hasn't changed much. So you guys are, I hope you guys are ready to have fun and be energized. And I'm going to be telling some jokes and maybe doing some backflips. I don't know. Who sees? Well, I don't know. It was already said, but just, so the culture where I come from, when the pastor or the speaker, it doesn't have to be the pastor, but when the speaker's on the, behind the pulpit and they say amen, you have to give a amen, you got to say it back. It's the rules. I'm sorry. I don't write them. So amen?
Amen.
Amen. So here is the rule though. If I say amen and you guys don't say amen, I actually get to preach for 10 more minutes each time. So that's actually how that goes. So I'm so thankful that you guys have allowed me to preach for an hour and 45 minutes up here. That was a joke. You don't have to pack your bags up just yet. I'm going to preach. I'm actually going to start my timer, and I'm looking at the clock up there for your sakes. Amen?
Amen?
All right, so this is something that we do in the black church. This is something that we do. We'll say, turn to your neighbor, and then you're going to look to somebody, and you're going to repeat after me. Okay, so everybody turn to your neighbor. Say neighbor.
Neighbor.
You're looking real good today. All right, and you got to turn to another neighbor. Turn to another neighbor and say neighbor. You're looking good by faith. That was a joke. That was a joke. Say, you're looking real good today. Yeah. We love God. We love one another. Okay. Yeah. We bless each other. Okay. You got to be nice. You know what I'm saying? Why would you say that? Amen. Hallelujah. I'm going to have fun. I'm just going to get right into it. And I'm going to be preaching today out of Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 through 6. So you can turn there. I believe it will be on the screen. I'll read it from there. If you've been in church for a little while, you've probably heard this verse. I'm one of those preachers that, just kind of whatever I'm feeling, whatever I need at the time, that's what God puts on my heart to preach and teach. So just so you know, just whatever I say, I'm talking to myself as well. I got the mirror up this morning. Is that okay?
Yep.
Amen?
Amen?
So I'm going to read the verse. Give a little bit of context of what's going on, and then I'm going to pray once more. So Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 says, trust in the Lord with all of your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. It should be in 6 as well. Yes, thank you. In all of your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. Amen?
Amen.
So the book of Proverbs is a part of the wisdom literature. Also, if I say anything that's not quite correct, because you guys have amazing, teachers and preachers here, just go with it. You know what I'm saying? If I say something, just go with it. You don't have to take my word for it. Actually, I recommend you don't take my word for anything that I say up here. Okay, you're up there preaching. Why would you not take my word for it? I mean, I'd studied. You know what I'm saying? I know what I'm, I think I know what I'm talking about. Anything I say, if it doesn't, if it rubs you the wrong way, fact check me. Look in the Bible. If it's wrong, it's wrong. The Bible's never wrong, though. Amen? So if I say something wrong, if I say something that's not quite right, you'll have that exact response. Amen. How will you just be okay, all right. It is what it is. All right, so the book of Proverbs is a part of the wisdom literature of the Old Testament, likely written between the 10th and 6th centuries B.C., this wisdom literature was aimed at teaching moral and ethical behavior, often giving practical advice for daily living. If you don't read Proverbs often, you should. It's the best, those TikTok accounts that's just health advice, good advice. That's Proverbs, the original, guru. whatever. Anyways, aimed at teaching moral and ethical behavior. Proverbs is traditionally attributed to be written by King Solomon, renowned for his wisdom, though some parts may have been written by other authors. During this time period, Israel, the nation of Israel, they were a nation that served one God, Yahweh. They were also surrounded by other nations with other religious cultures that served many different gods, and oftentimes many gods. Trusting in the Lord and acknowledging him was a cultural distinction that set the Israelites apart from their neighbors. So doing what God told them to was one of the things that separated them. Like, no, we're like, one. How do you know between this nation and that nation? They acted differently. And this was one of the ways, trusting in the Lord. It was also an acknowledgement of the sovereignty of Yahweh God over every aspect of life. So throughout history, leading up until especially today, even in today, we live in a culture that's infatuated with more and more understanding and knowledge, influencers, thought leaders, gurus, technological advances, et cetera, that make it more and more kind of strange not to just Google something when we should be asking God. Amen. So Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 through 6 encapsulates the biblical concept of faith, emphasizing complete trust in God rather than human understanding or wisdom. It illustrates a key tenet of the Jewish and later Christian our theology that we should rely on God's wisdom over our own. I'm going to say a short prayer. God, I just thank you so much for today. I thank you for the opportunity to share your word and to be in community with a bunch of like-minded, awesome individuals, God. I ask that today it not be my words, but indeed be yours, God. I ask that everything that you would have for each of us penetrate the hearts of everyone who it's for, God. I pray that none of us leave the same way that we came in. I pray that even I, as I am up here, lean not on my own understanding, but trust in you. In your precious, wonderful, and holy name, amen and amen. We're going to have some fun today. So trust in the Lord. In the context of the scripture, trust refers to having confidence, reliance, and faith in the Lord. It involves entrusting one's life, decisions, and future to God's care and guidance. Trusting in the Lord means relying on his wisdom, providence, and faithfulness rather than relying solely on your own understanding or human wisdom. The verse goes on to say, with all of your heart. The term heart, often when we see it in scripture, is used in a metaphorical sense. It represents the center of one's being, including their emotions, thoughts, desires, and will. The heart is the whole and total person. So trusting in the Lord with all of your heart implies a wholehearted commitment, surrender, and devotion to God. It involves aligning one's deepest affections, intentions, and beliefs to the will of God. Trusting in the Lord with all of your heart is a command that includes trusting in the Lord with all that you are and with all that you have. Amen? But it actually also goes a little deeper than that. It doesn't stop just there. I think it would be fair to assume that a lot of us in the room would understand the concept of doing something with all of your heart in a similar way. Like, we probably all understand that phrase kind of similarly. We use the phrase all the time in sports. You know, the athletes, they'd be like, I left it all on the court. I put my heart out there. I did it. Amen. We get, okay, cool, cool. You know, in relationships, we'd be like, girl, I just love you with all my heart. I love you so much. Girl, you got all my heart. Amen. Doing something with all of your heart kind of implies, we all understand it, like doing something with all of your strength and energy, right? Doing something like, I'm giving it all I got. I left it all out there. With all that you have, I can't possibly give any more. But like I said before, in the context of this scripture, considering the language and the time that it was written, the term heart does not simply include one's capacity for something, but instead refers to the center of their entire being, your whole life, like your entire existence, your whole you. So to trust in the Lord with all of your heart is to trust in the Lord with all you are, all you have, as well as all of who you are. Amen. It means to trust in the Lord with your own identity. It means to trust what the Lord says about you over what your classmates or coworkers have said about you. It means to trust who God says that you are over what society or even your own family have convinced themselves of. To trust in the Lord with how you even view and think about yourself. Psalm chapter 139, verse 14, it says, I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. So it doesn't matter what the world will try to tell you. The scripture says, God says, that you are fearfully and wonderfully made. You'll find in Genesis chapters 2 and 3, all the way in the beginning of the Bible, that you are also made in God's image. So a practical application of this is to know, believe, and to trust that despite what has been said about you, despite what has been said to you, despite what has been or has not been done to you, that you are fearfully and wonderfully made in the image of God. Amen. You are not a mistake. You are not a mere consequence of circumstance. You were created with intention, with a unique purpose, and Jesus loves you. Amen. The next part of your passage says, lean not on your own understanding. We're going to get a little deeper in that later, but just for right now, that means that we don't even lean on our own understanding of ourselves. Maybe you've said something like this before. You know what? I know you guys would never say this, so I'm talking about the people that are watching online. Hey, guys, how you doing? I'm not talking about anybody in this room, so, you know, you don't need to get offended or anything, but maybe, you know, I would totally tell my coworkers about Jesus. I would invite them to church. I'd invite my family to church, but, you know, that's not really my personality. You know, I'm kind of like more of the quiet type. Did God say that? Or did you say that? Is that your own understanding? I know. I've been like asked to like lead a small group. I've been asked to sing on a praise team, you know, or whatever. I've been asked, you know, to participate in church community. I'm more of a background kind of guy. Just put me behind the wall all the way back there. I'll be good. Did God say that? Or did you? I personally struggle with this too. Like growing up, I was always the music guy. I'm the music guy. And I like really took on that identity for myself. I'm the music guy. And 4 years ago, God called my wife and I back to Madison, and we were planning to be here. It was the end of 2019. We had big plans. You know, we were planning to be here for a year and then move out to LA and then, you know, just continue to do the thing. And then, you know, somebody got a cold, you know, in 2020. And then, you know, then I'm just at home for just a few weeks. It was just a few weeks. You all remember, you were there. And I remember kind of having this thing where like, okay, well, I'm here. I'm helping at the church. I have this title that's pastor, but like, where's the music part? That was really something that I struggled with for a long time. It took me a while, but I eventually realized that my own understanding of myself, I gave myself an identity that God did not give me. I want to be clear too, God didn't give me the identity of a pastor. That's just the function that I have. You are not your function. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. How you view yourself needs to be put in the hands and the trust of God and what the scripture says and what God says about you. Also, how you view other people. I don't know another way to say it, so I'm gonna say it this way. It's some jacked up people out there. We got some jacked up people in our own families. You don't got a point, you don't got to look. Amen? Yeah. Humanity is broken, but all made in the image of God, fearfully and wonderfully created. Amen? Trusting in the Lord with all of your heart also means trusting God about other people. Amen? So if there's a question that I can ask, it's a very large, you know, it's a kind of a big question, but who are you? Who are you? Like, if you, you know, your elevator pitch, who are you? What do you do? You know, like what, in all of the things that you say, actually, I'm just gonna, who are you? What's your elevator pitch? Don't actually all say them out loud. I won't be able to hear them, but just to ourselves, who are you? Tell me, Dad, what are you about? I know it's kind of silly, but just practically, like, how many of those things have you, like, given to God? How many of those things was a response out of what the scripture says? Or are they just like things that we do? Amen. And there's nothing wrong with that. But we need to make sure that we are putting our entire identity, our whole being, into the trust of God. So trusting in the Lord requires us to give up our preconceived notions about our emotional, physical, and psychological identity and put it in the hands of God, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, so that we can be wholly in the will of the living God, living out the life that he intended us to live. Amen. The next part of the scripture says, lean not on your own understanding. I know we got a lot of real smart people in the room, so just, you know, bear with me. To help me kind of break down the idea of understanding, I first want to talk about knowledge and experience. I believe there's a very close correlation and connection, knowledge, experience, and understanding. In fact, Albert Einstein said the only source of knowledge is experience. Julius Caesar said that experience is the teacher of all things. But how many of us know in the room that there is a distinct difference between knowing something or even having experience with something and truly understanding it? There's a difference between knowing something and understanding it. There's not a one-to-one correlation between the two. For example, I have a lot of experience with cars. Particularly, I have a lot of experience with driving them. I drive cars all the time, so therefore I have a lot of experience with vehicles. But I'm telling you, if something starts making noise in your car, don't give it to me. I'm just me. I'm being honest. Like, but I drive. I mean, I know cars. Like, I use the cars. I have a lot of experience with them, but I don't know. I don't understand how they work. I mean, if you have me under the hood of your car, I mean, even just looking at it the wrong way, I promise you will get your car back in worse condition than it was when you left it with me. I don't understand how they work. A lot of us listen to music. We don't understand how music works. We just know it makes us want to dance it a little bit. You know what I'm saying? How many people do you know that have a lot of knowledge or maybe experience? Well, we all, I mean, politics in America, oh, I mean, everybody, I mean, we all know a whole bunch. Most of us don't know how that works. We got no idea how it works. How do I know that? Because it's stuff that we be arguing about. Like, yeah, we don't really understand this. All right, this one's a little risky, okay? I'm just letting you know ahead of time. So if it doesn't land, just go, ah, ha, 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 and just laugh. Just like, you know, hey, I'm married. I know my wife. I have a lot of experience with her. But sometimes I'll be like, I don't understand you. Okay, that worked. Okay, it wasn't too bad. Amen. Or even just, you know, we have friends, we know people. It's people I've known for a whole lot of years, and sometimes they just make me so mad because I'm just like, I don't understand you. Amen. Knowing something and understanding something is too different. So where am I going with all of this? Scripture says, lean not on your own understanding. My definition, this is just the Isaiah Obi definition of understanding. My definition of understanding is that understanding is the sum total of processed experience. Understanding is the sum total of processed experience. What do I mean by that? Actually, homework is a great illustration of this. Sending you home to work and process through knowledge with experience of the textbook to gain a true understanding of it. Amen. If you think about it, a very extremely oversimplified way to explain therapy is having a trained professional help you process your experience. Processing your experience helps you understand yourself, understand the world, other people, how to move and act. I mean, a lot of us don't even understand ourselves. Some of us live our whole lives simply responding to things, responding to our calendars, responding to the kids' cries, responding to what our job, like we, but because we haven't taken the time to process, we don't really understand what's going on, and therefore we live a very reactive life instead of living a proactive life. Amen. So I'm in therapy. Shout out to therapy. Amen. I read the Bible and pray, and I'm in therapy. That's what's up. And I remember having a conversation with my therapist. She's a Christian. And I was talking about something, and I was just like, yeah, I don't know. I just got to figure it out. And she was like, huh, I don't know why people do that. I was like, well, what are you talking about? And she was like, you know, it's really interesting to me, and I don't understand why people think that they can solve problems with the same brain that created them. Well, excuse me. I mean, I was like, I felt all the emotions. I was like, I mean, well, first of all, how dare you? Second off, I mean, okay, yeah, sure. But I was just like, you know, like how can we like, you know, solve problems with the same brain that created them? The reality is if you could figure it out on your own, you wouldn't have been in a situation in the first place. Amen. Yeah, real quiet on that one. He's like, amen. Give it to God. Give it to God. I promise I haven't forgotten about the scripture. I said all this to say, in its simplest form, I guess all that to say, simplest form, you're not that smart. Amen. Everybody turn to your neighbor and say, I think you're really smart. But you're not smarter than God, though. You got to say, though. You're not smarter than God, though. Say it.
Smarter than God, though.
All right, appreciate it. Turn to your other neighbor. Say, you know, I think I'm really smart. I think I'm really smart. Oh, why we get quiet on that one? Hold on. Why we get quiet on that one? You know, okay. So we're humble. We're a humble church. I appreciate that. So I'll say for you, I think you guys are so smart. I do think that God is a little smarter, though. Amen. Our understanding of something will never exceed the amount of processed knowledge and experience. Your understanding will never exceed the amount of processed knowledge and experience. Therefore, you simply can't trust it. You simply can't trust it. In fact, there is a real and imminent danger of self-reliance. Relying on your own understanding is a recipe for disaster. Why? I said it before, but there's just so much that we don't know. Amen. There's so much that we don't know. There's even more that we have not and will not ever experience. Amen. And of that, there's so much less that we've actually taken the time to process. So because of that, because of these things, we can't trust our own understanding. Why do we continue to act surprised when we can't figure something out by ourselves and then go to God about it? I'm the only one. Okay, I get it. So I'll just speak for myself. You know, there's a lot of times stuff happens and I'm trying to figure it out and, you know, my methods don't work and I'm like, wow, I'm so surprised. I mean, I'm so smart, but I couldn't figure this out by myself. I guess I'll go pray about it. I'm the only one. Got it. It's all good. You got a good church. I mean, just humble, holy, amen. I do want to make very clear, though, there is a lot of good to understanding. There's a lot of use to natural and earthly understanding. There's a lot of value to it. There is actually a lot of biblical importance on knowledge and understanding. We see this as we go through scripture. King David, the prophet Daniel, so many more. They are actually attributed to like their knowledge on like God honored and acknowledged the amount of knowledge that they have. Amen. In Hosea 4, chapter 4, verse 6, the scripture says, "My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge." So it is great to have understanding. We need that. Go to school, do this certification, you know, read the books, like do whatever, like we need to be growing. We want to be growing in our knowledge of things, in our earthly knowledge, but we still need to allow God to use it though. Amen. We need to allow God to use I'm gonna say it this way. Allow God to use your understanding in business, industry, creativity, psychology, relationships, scripture, communication, or whatever it is that you find skill and success in to make his name great and to make disciples of all nations. Amen. I do want to say this too, with all that being said, understanding is great, but your understanding should influence how you do something. Your understanding should never decide if you do something. Your understanding should never should decide how you do a particular thing. But your own earthly knowledge and understanding should never dictate if you do something. Just kidding. Appreciate it. Your understanding should influence how you do something. Your understanding should not influence if you do something. Let me just. But there are some stuff that, you know, we don't. I mean, we just know not to do. When I was a kid, I was a little too old for this. It's a little embarrassing. But I was like, I could probably breathe underwater. Right? I tried it. In case you guys don't know, you can't. Didn't work. I mean, I don't necessarily need to pray about that again. You know what I'm saying? Like, should I like try to breathe underwater? Like, probably, I mean, there's some things like experience teaches us like, okay, well, I'm not going to do that again. I'm not going to stay out until 4 o'clock in the morning and then get up and go to work at 8. You know what I'm saying? Just like little things like that. You know, there's a lot of stuff we don't know, but our understanding, our perspective and our knowledge are inherently limited and flawed. So I beg of you, just whatever you do, do not depend on what you know, but instead, as the scripture instructs us, depend on God. Amen. I know you know this, but God sees the bigger picture. Amen. So, trust in the Lord with all of your heart. It's who you are. And lean not on your own understanding. It's what you know. And the next part of the scripture says, in all your ways, acknowledge him. In all of your ways, it's what you do. Other translations say, in all of your ways, submit to him. In all of your ways, submit to him. This means that in every aspect of our lives, the things that we do, in our decisions, actions, plans, and goals, we should acknowledge God's sovereignty. Excuse me. This means that we should seek God's will, guidance, and wisdom in every single thing that we do, whether it's big or small. It's about recognizing God, it's about recognizing that God is in control and that we should align ourselves with his divine plan instead of asking him to come along to what we've already decided that we were going to do. Amen. Here are just two ways. These aren't the only ways, but here are two ways that we can acknowledge God. In everything that we do. Like if you're going to walk away with anything, walk away with these two things. The very first one, prayer. Very simply. Pray. Have you prayed about it? Not in the scripture. Not in the correct sermon note order, but I do just want to read this verse before I actually move on. Proverbs 2 and 6 says, for the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. So Julius Caesar and Einstein, yeah, they got it wrong. Yeah, they're not that smart. We can get knowledge and understanding from God. Pray. So my question is, have you prayed about it? That is one of the ways that we can acknowledge God in everything that we do. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7, it says this, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Jesus Christ." Amen. That was real good. That's just straight scripture. Whew, I'm preaching good, I know. It's just a scripture. That's why I said that. Okay. So like, what if we were a people, you know, when somebody came to us about something, like the very first thing we asked was like, well, okay, well, have you prayed about it? Cool. Have you prayed about it? No. You know what? Let's pray right now. Like, I know like that would be like kind of annoying for some of our friends, but like, what if that was just like the majority? Have you prayed about it? What did God say? Amen. Acknowledging God in all of our ways is, I've said it a bunch, I'm going to keep on saying it, is praying about something before it becomes a problem. Before it becomes a problem. Not just when things are bad, but in every situation. Just for me, from now on, I'm saying it, okay? So I'm going to expect you guys to hold me to it. You come to me with a problem, I'm going to be like, have you prayed about it? Let's pray. Amen? I challenge you to do the same thing. I double dog dare you to do the same thing. How do we know? How can we tell? I think it's important to be able to, you know, kind of survey things and take account of everything, our life, of what's going on so that we can process and understand it. So I'm going to ask us to just, you know, think for a second or challenge you for a second. Here's how you know what you're acknowledging to God. Here's how you know, like, what things, like, in all of your ways. Here's how you know what ways you're giving to God. What are the things that you're praying about and praying for? Because those are actually the only things that you are giving to God in acknowledgement to him. What are the things that we aren't praying for? Those are the things that we are not giving to God in acknowledgement to him. Amen. What have you been leaning on your own strength for? What have you been leaning on your own strength for? Here's how you know. What decisions do you make before prayer? What decisions are you making without praying about it? Without just saying like, God, I have this decision, A, B, or C, I don't really know what to do. God, give me wisdom. What do you want, God? How many times do we just say, the blue one? The blue one. Definitely, no, the blue one. I don't need to, the blue one. Amen? And I know that it might seem extreme, but what if we truly like lived our lives where before making any decision, big or small, we just prayed about it first? This would be like kind of weird, but I think it'd be kind of cool. Like, when we have the menu at the restaurant, what if instead of praying after the food comes, some of us don't even do a good job of that, but after praying after the food, that was a joke. Okay, it's okay. praying after the food comes, what if we just like the server was there and we're just looking at the menu and we're like, hold on, I need to pray first. Like, God, what should I eat? But for real, I mean, just like, like our diet's important. Like what we eat, like it does affect our body. Like it does like affect even our mood. Like there's like gut health, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, for better and for worse, like what we eat, like what if we were just like, God, what should I eat today? I was in a discipleship training school, I believe it was called, through YWAM many years ago. I was a kid and I don't know who it was. I will never forget what they said. And she was just like, yeah, I talked to God about the peanut butter. I was like, that's weird, but that's kind of lit though. That means cool, if you don't know. Like, that means like really cool. So I was like, that's kind of lit. Like, you know, you're just like making your peanut butter and jelly sandwich. You're like, oh, tell me about the peanut butter. That's the kind of life that I want to live. Amen. What if, crazy, I know it's crazy, I know. What if we were like, hold on, excuse me, Lord, what should I order? The ribs, definitely the ribs. Okay, I'm going to get the ribs. You know what I'm saying? Whatever. It's extreme, but I double dog dare you. Try it once. I bet if you prayed before you decided what to eat, I bet you'd feel better after you ate. I bet you wouldn't need to take a nap. Amen. Yeah, I bet you have a little bit more energy through the day. Okay, I'm just talking to myself. That's all. Don't get the ribs after church. Amen. Hallelujah. The first thing that we can do to acknowledge God in our ways is prayer. Another thing that we can do, this list is not exhaustive, but another thing that we can do is lean on our church community. Lean on other fellow like-minded individuals. James chapter 5, verse 16 says, therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. It's in the Bible. Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Mentioned before, but back in the book of Genesis, chapters 2 and 3, we see that God made Adam, and God actually made Adam with limitations. God made Adam with limitations on purpose. Well, what do you mean by that, Pastor Isaiah? Yeah, I'm so glad that you asked, because I'm about to tell you. Here's how I know. Here's why I've come to that conclusion. It's my conclusion that God made Adam with limitation on purpose. Because God was creating everything, and then he made the moon and the mountains and all that. He was like, that's good, that's good, that's good, that's good. He made Adam, and he said, that's good. After that, he said, you know what? It's not good that he be alone, though. The thing that wasn't good was that Adam was alone. If it was God's intention for Adam, from Adam and Eve, from the story in the Bible, go read it, Genesis chapter 2 and 3. If it was God's intention for him to not be alone, he would have just made Adam not need anybody else. I mean, let's think about it. He would have just made him without limitation, if that was God's initial will. Like, God didn't give him Eve because it was like, well, I don't know what to do. I mean, I've already built the thing. I'm not going to take it apart and put it back together. Amen. It's not good that man be alone. So God made Adam on purpose with limitations. And the only way that Adam could truly be in the will of God and God's full and complete total will is for him to be in community. Amen. So putting our trust in God and leaning not on our own understanding is trusting that God has put people in our lives that we need to get from one place to the next. Amen. We don't really like that, though. I'm going to talk for myself. I don't really like that, though, sometimes. Because, I'm one of those people, I'd be like, I'm just going to pray about it. I'm going to pray about it myself. You know, even like the things that I do pray about first, you know, the things that I don't just try to just, you know, ready, shoot, aim, you know what I'm saying, through my way through life. The things that I do pray for, I'm just going to pray about it. I don't need to talk to anybody else. And then once God has told me what I'm supposed to do, then I will tell everybody else. Just me and God. That's not how we were created. Amen. We were designed for community. I'm actually going to take it a step further. Same goes for married couples. It's really easy. I mean, you know, scripture says the two shall become one. It's really easy to even just kind of stay just between the two of y'all. You know, we're just going to pray about it. We don't have to let anybody else in. We don't got to talk to anybody else. We don't got to ask for advice. Nothing. Just us. That's not how God designed it. Amen. We are not millions of little churches in our families. Like, we come together as collective family in Christ. Amen? So prayer and church community, those are two things that we can do to make sure that we are acknowledging God in all that we do. Musicians, praise team, you guys can make your way up. About to land this plane. Walking in wisdom, leaning not on your own understanding, in all of your ways acknowledge him and he will make your path straight. Walking, this is what we call walking in wisdom. Other scriptures will say this. This means trusting in God beyond our own understanding. I hate that I even have to say this, but this doesn't mean don't trust your intuition. Don't trust your own, don't trust your own experience to the point where you are letting other people control you or tell you what to do. But the scripture, what the Holy Spirit has to say through prayer and dedication to his word. Amen? God made each and every one of us, as the scripture said, fearfully and wonderfully made on purpose. We are made on purpose. We are made with a purpose. Anytime you use something or try to use something outside of its intended purpose, that's called abuse. So when there, you know, if you get prescribed some medication, there's like some instructions on the back, right? Any use outside of the instructions is called abuse. You're abusing prescription drugs. Humans, we were made with instructions. The instructions are the word of God in the Bible. And we can hear the Holy, we have relationship with the Holy Spirit. We walk with the Holy Spirit through prayer. We can hear God's voice through scripture and other people as well. So anytime that we make a decision without first checking to see if this is our individual purpose, is this what we were created for? We're participating in the abuse of ourselves, of our own lives. That's a really strong way to put it, but I want it to be very clear. Amen. I also want to touch just for a second on just leaning on our own understanding. I'm not balanced otherwise without it. You know, I'm leaning on the podium. And oftentimes what we do is, you know, God's like, all right, come this way. I want you to come. And we're like, cool. I'm coming. Why are you saying I'm not coming? I'm coming. I'm right here. You know what I'm saying? God wants us to be here fully. You know what I'm saying? And we're just like this. We do that with our own understanding of things. A lot of us do that with our money. You know, like it's really easy to trust God, you know, with maybe taking a sabbatical when we got it in the bank account. You know what I'm saying? Like, oh yeah, I need to take a break. Got it. Cool. It's very possible to be in the will of God doing what God asked you to do, but still be leaning on your own understanding. Well, I have a safety net. We have the savings. We have the retirement. I'm smart. Like, I know, like God told me, you know, I feel like God is telling me to quit my job. Well, man, cool. I mean, I'm smart. So if this doesn't work, I interview very well. So, you know, if this doesn't, don't work very well, but I interview great. So if this job doesn't work out, if this thing, you know, this thing that God is calling me to do doesn't work out, it's fine. I just get another job. Great. I have a great resume, great experience. That's still leaning on our own understanding. My son, his name is Zion. He's 4. He hates getting water in his ears when like we're swimming, so he like can't swim. Just pray for him, because I mean, wow, he just gets in that water and things in his ears, he's like, no, get me out. So in the beginning of summer, we went to the Dells with some other families with kids, and Zion got in the water and I try to like let it like to hold him, and he like never like lets me hold him in the water. Like, he just needs to be like, just nope, I want to drown in peace. Like, that's my son. And he gets that from his mom. Don't tell her I said that. Amen. So if she's watching, well, I'll just be in trouble. So, you know, but this particular time we're in the Dells, I'm holding him, and he's like letting me like hold him. He's like, let him. I'm like, whoa, this is so cool. Like, my son, like, he trusts me. Well, it took me like a long time to realize he had a life jacket on. And he knew it. He wasn't trusting me. He was leaning on the life jacket. Amen. A lot of us live entire lives. We work very, very hard to get a whole bunch of life jackets. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Nothing's, we good. So when God says to jump in the deep end, you're like, let's go. I'm good. Yeah, I got it. But we're still leaning on our own understanding. We're leaning on not God. We're not leaning on God if the only things that we're doing, if the only risks that we take, if the only hard things that we're doing aren't that hard because, you know, we got a plan B. Last thing is this. Last thing. For real, last thing. Well, maybe not. We'll see. I got another 45 minutes. Just kidding. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not on your own understanding, and in all of your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. Oftentimes in scriptures, the mention of making paths straight also allude to moral and ethical living. So in biblical language, a straight path often implies righteous and moral uprightness. There might be like sin that we're struggling with. We keep trying to get out of it on our own strength. Just don't do it anymore. Just maybe some, for those people who might have road rage, just don't get mad. You know what I'm saying? That's what we think. Just don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it. You know, maybe gossiping is something that you're doing. You're in the room and somebody says something. You're like, I got the tea. That means I got the information. You know, I got the information. I can contribute to the conversation. I'm not going to say it. I'm not going to say it. I'm not going to say it. And you'd be like, all right, you guys broke me. Let me tell you what Sue said. Amen. Maybe there are things that we're trying to, we want to live the right way. Like this is outside of even just like, what should we do for our work and how we make the best impact and how we, you know, just like even just living the right way. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Let God tell you how to live the right way. Don't try to live the right way so that you can come to God. Amen. There is a real challenge of trust, and that is responding to God's direction without a full understanding. How many of us feel like we need to understand what God is trying to do before we're really willing to take that first step? I am included. So trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all of your ways, submit to him and he will make your path straight. This verse is a powerful reminder that we should live our lives centered on God, trusting his love and wisdom, not relying solely on our own understanding and acknowledging him in everything, our identity, who we are, and our actions. What we do should be dictated by God's word and the Holy Spirit through scripture, fervent prayer, and Christian community. In return, we are promised divine guidance. We are promised divine assurance in our life's journey and a heart that is pleasing to the will of God. Amen? So I'm going to pray right now. We're all going to pray together. But actually, I'm not going to pray. We're going to pray individually as a collective. And here's what I want us to pray about. I want you to pray about the good things that's going on in your life. I want you to pray about the things that you don't typically worry about. Maybe your relationship is good. Maybe it's finances. Maybe your job. Maybe you love your job. You love the work that you do. You don't really think to like pray about like, God, I need you to come in this situation. Like, what's that thing that's going really well in life? Everybody's got something. If you don't got something, okay, cool. I give you full permission to pray about anything else. But what's going well? Chances are it's more likely that whatever's going well in your life is the thing that you pray for the least. So let's pray for that. Just for the next 30 seconds as the music plays, and then I'm going to get off the stage. Amen? I'm going to open us up, and then we'll spend just a few seconds praying. God, I just thank you so much. God, I thank you that for the gift of your wisdom and knowledge. I thank you that we don't have to have anything figured out on our own, God. I thank you that the burden of responsibility of having the right answers does not fall on me, God. I thank you for being a God that loves me so much that you were willing to send your son to die for me so that I could not just stumble through life on my own, but instead just ask you for help. So God, I'm here asking for help. I'm here asking for guidance, God. We are all here asking for guidance. So just over the next short amount of time, God, bring to the forefront of our mind the thing or things that we haven't been truly giving to you, that we have not been relying on you, God, the things that maybe we have a lot of understanding in, God. And I just ask that you give us the strength, the courage, and the supernatural ability to pray for those things, God. And where it makes sense, God, to just let go of those things. I just feel led to say just like trust is just letting go. Letting God have his way. So God, I just thank you over the next few minutes as we pray that you bring these things to our mind and that you meet us here and answer these prayers. God, I ask that we give these things to you.